to start our time together. That is just great. Those of you who are guests with us, we are in a sermon series entitled, What's That? And it's loosely built on the premise that because we live in a culture that to some extent is not very religious, that from time to time we're going to be asked questions to which people are wanting very sincere and straightforward answers. And we need to be able to answer those questions in a very simplistic fashion. This morning we're going to formulate an answer to the question, prayer. What's that? Biblical prayer should not be hard to explain. People are interested in prayer. Everywhere, people are interested in prayer. It's really one of the most common phenomena of human life. Even people who are deliberately non-religious admit they pray at times. Studies have shown that in secularized countries, prayer is practiced not only by those who have no religious preference, but even by many of those who do not believe in God at all. In a 2004 study, they found that nearly 30% of atheists admitted they prayed sometimes. And another study found that 17% of atheists pray regularly. Go figure. Italian researcher Giuseppe Giudice says this, and let me just read what he's written. In virtually all studies of sociology of religious behavior, results have shown that a very high percentage of people declare they pray every day, and many say several times a day. Of course, that does not mean everybody prays. Hardened atheists who never pray do exist. Still, though, prayer is a global reality inhabiting all cultures and involving the overwhelming majority of all people. Efforts to find cultures, even very remote and isolated ones, without some form of prayer have failed. There has always been some form of attempt to communicate between human and divine realms. The divine realm, of course, we know to be God's. What we're saying here is there's a hungering in the heart and the soul of people everywhere, even in the most darkest reaches of the world. There's a hungering to reach out to God and to communicate with God, to converse with God, even if they don't know much about it. In the movie Gravity, astronaut Dr. Ryan Stone, played by Sandra Bullock, finds herself as a lone survivor of an accident in space. As she drifts helplessly in space, she has this conversation with God. I'm going to die, aren't I, God? I know we're all going to die, but I'm going to die today. Funny that I ought to know that. But the thing is, I'm still scared. I'm really scared. Nobody will mourn for me. No one will pray for my soul. Will you mourn for me? Will you pray for me? Or is it too late? I mean, I'd pray for myself, but I've never prayed in my life. Nobody ever taught me how. Nobody ever taught me how. Well, that's a sad, sad situation. And I think that depicts a very honest situation that people at some point in their life want to know how to pray. People at some point in their life want to know what that involves. When the subject comes up in the lives of many people with which we are involved, you know, the response is going to be prayer. What is that? Can you tell me what prayer means? So we need to be able to kind of respond to that inquiry. If people ask us about prayer, where should we begin? That's the question we're going to pursue. Well, let's begin with prayer is talking with God. Prayer is talking with God. Prayer is much easier than we think. We so often think prayer is too hard or too high or too holy for us. That understanding of prayer shared with our culture discourages anybody from praying at all. Everybody can pray. Even the most sinful, shallow, silly of us can pray. We don't need to learn a special prayer language. We don't need to learn a special formula. We don't need to learn a formula at all. I remember as a child, my maternal grandfather would say grace before Thanksgiving or other special family get-togethers. And he would always begin the same way. We were all very quiet. We were all very reverent around the table. And he would start by saying, "Our dear, most precious, merciful, omnipotent Heavenly Father." Well, I didn't know what omnipotent was. It sounded to me like he was talking to the Wizard of Oz. You know? I thought in my mind, I'll never be able to pray that well. And then, as I was a boy growing up in church, I would listen to deacons who were so skilled at praying King James prayers. You know what I'm talking about? King James prayers went something like this. "We thank thee, Almighty God, for thy Son Jesus, and pray that thou have mercy on us, mere men, and forgive us for our woeful transgressions, and empower us to go whithersoever thou sendeth us. We pray that thou heal our sick and afflicted, watch over and protect our missionaries in darkest Africa. And we pray these things in the most holy name of thy crucified, resurrected, and soon to return Son, Jesus Christ." And everybody said, "Amen." And I thought, "Son, I'll never be able to pray like that." And then, you know, and even today we hear all this talk among the super spiritual, and you know they exist, about this special prayer language that only they and God can understand. We think to ourselves, "Man, I don't have a prayer language. I just got English is all I got." Well, I want to say this to you. Don't be bewildered by any of that. None of that has anything to do with genuine prayer. The single most important advice I can give you today is simply get started. Just begin praying. Just begin talking with God. You can talk with a friend, can't you? You don't use King James English when you're talking with a friend. If you do, the friend's going to run away. If you can talk with a friend, you can talk with God. Just start talking with God. Just start spending time talking with God. Let me share some of this with you. When you pray, God will hear you. Job chapter 22, verse 27 says, "You will pray to him and he will hear you." Period. He doesn't like phony prayers. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus says, "When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words." So don't listen to that fancy stuff. You should pray in good times and in bad. James chapter 5, verse 13. "Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. He hears you above the hypocrites." Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." And then he'll even help you pray if you need help. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "We do not know how to pray we don't know how to pray for as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. So let me just say this to you as we're talking about prayer this morning. If someone were to ask, what is prayer? Prayer is talking with God. Just start. Just start doing it. You don't need to know anything special about prayer. Just start talking with God. You can do that, can't you? You can give that kind of counsel to somebody. What is prayer? Well, here's another thing. Prayer is pleasing to God. If we want to get more accurate as we're thinking about an image of God in our minds when it comes to prayer, we should probably imagine grandfathers rather than fathers. Dads are in too much of a hurry. They have a lot on their mind. They have commitments they're trying to keep. They have places they're trying to be. You know, if they have a talkative child, more often than not, dads are liable to say, hey, listen, I don't have time right now to talk. We'll talk another time. Just kind of get out of my way, you know. It's kind of where dads are. Dads are so busy living life, they don't really have enough time to listen to their kids talking. God's not like that. God has time to talk. And more importantly, God has time to listen. He's more like a grandfather in that way. Grandfathers have learned what's really important in life. Grandfathers have learned how to slow down. Grandfathers have learned that children won't be children very long. Grandfathers see the wonderment in the eyes of their grandchildren. They hear the naivete and the freshness and the newness in the voices of their grandchildren. Visiting with grandchildren, by the way, I'm a grandfather, so I can speak with a considerable amount of authority in this. Grandfathers see the wonderment in the eyes of their grandchildren. They see the authenticity in the soul of their grandchildren. Grandfathers have time to listen. We're smitten by our grandchildren. And prayer is pleasing to God in that same way. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12, God says, you'll call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. We should never feel rushed when visiting with God. God's not in a hurry. God never grows impatient. God doesn't mind our rambling. We don't lose God when we talk too much with Him. He just enjoys the time we're spending with Him. Our prayers are special to God. We should never feel small or unimportant before God. We should never feel as though He's uninterested in our lives and our problems. God is delighted with our prayers. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8 says, the prayer of the upright is his delight. In fact, our prayers are so special to God that He receives our prayers like an offering. Listen to Psalm chapter 141, verses 1 and 2. Listen to my voice when I call on you. May my prayer be set before you as incense, the raising of my hands as an evening offering. Can you imagine that? Who else do you know that receives your visit with them like an offering? Who else do you know who hears your voice and hears the concerns of your heart, receives your prayers like incense? before cell phones and text messaging, before satellites, phone calls from GIs in combat zones had to be placed through something called Mars calls. This is, for some of you, this is going to be a history lesson. Mars call is a radio call. A Mars call means the GI in a combat zone is talking on a radio, listens on the radio, pushes a button to talk, and gets through talking, says over and listens, over, over, over. And it goes from this radio to, the radio in Da Nang, and then out to ships at sea across the Pacific Ocean, all the way to California, where other ham radio operators pick it up and send it from California to New Mexico to Arizona, and finally to Texas, where it's translated into a phone call into the local recipient. In Vietnam, I got to make 2 Mars calls. When my day came, they called me on the radio, said, "Corporal Washburn, it's your time to make your Mars call." I dropped everything and ran about 300 yards at high speed as I could get, to this Quonset hut. Never mind. To this Quonset hut with the radio hung on a wall on the backside of the Quonset hut, and they had built a plywood booth around it, painted it red, and they had the Bell telephone symbol painted on the side of this plywood. And when I got down to the Mars booth, is what it called, I stood there talking on the radio, looking down this rocky ledge about 20 meters to the POW camp down there where the NVA POWs were fenced in. So I'm talking on the phone, looking down here at these guys, looking up at me, and I'm thinking, boy, look at this. Here I am making a Mars call, talking with looking at POWs. So the operator on the radio, Corporal Washburn, this is going to be a regular radio call. When you're through talking, you say over, you let go. That'll give your wife time to talk. She'll say over, and then you go back and forth that way. Your call will last 3 minutes. Now, over here, Linda had been awakened in the middle of the night. It was the middle of the night. Over here, it was the middle of the day over there. She was 19. They had explained this process to her, how to talk on a radio, and she understood none of it. So finally, we get through, and here's this, "Hi, honey, this is Steve, how you doing?" over, and you can hear this, "Oh, hi, how you doing, where are you?" You know, and by the way, you can't, there's a whole list of things you can't share. You can't say where you are, you can't talk about how you feel, you can't talk about the weather, you can't tell when you're coming home, you can't tell about hardly anything. You can't talk about, every question she asked, the operator would say, "You can't answer that. You can't answer that." She would talk, and then the operator, some, you know, I don't know how many operators are listening, probably a dozen operators, and they're all listening, waiting to flip the switch when you say over, back and forth. And she'd get through, and some operator way on down the line would say, "You got to say over." "Oh, over," you know, and they would come back to me, and I'd talk, "Over," and then she'd talk, "You got to say over." "Oh, over," you know. That went on for 3 minutes, and they just cut us off. It was over. Now, I knew, God willing, I was going to see her face to face sometime. But I got to tell you this. Those 3 minutes were the most precious moments in my life up to that time. Being able just to hear that sweet little voice back here, being able just to talk with her for those brief 3 minutes, just to be able to hear her life, to hear her soul, to know where she was, and to be able to talk with her, those were the most important 3 minutes in my world. Time's going to come when you may be able to stand before God and meet Him face to face. But you need to know this. Right now, the time you spend in prayer talking with Him, those are the most precious moments in God's life. Visiting with you is a delight to God. He treasures the time He has to spend with you. He treasures every moment you spend talking with Him. Talking with God is a delight to Him. Every second, every moment delights God. One last thing. Prayer is walking with God. You know, this is the ultimate thing. This is the goal of prayer. The best way I can think to describe this to you is to have you turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. These verses give us an idea of the relationship God desires to have with us. This is the day Adam and Eve first sinned, so they're very ashamed. But let's ignore that for a moment and focus on God. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Then the man and wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" "Adam, Eve, it's time for our evening walk. Where are you?" Of course, God knew where they were, but you could hear in His voice His broken heart. You can hear that God is brokenhearted because His relationship with them had been broken. Been broken. "Adam, Eve, where are you? Why can't we walk here in the cool of the evening? Why can't we walk together?" It'd been broken. It'd been broken. So, we have this. God's heart's broken because our walk with Him has also been broken. We have this. Sin broke our walk with God. Jesus came to pay for our sin. Restoration comes now through faith. Once restored, we can walk with God. But isn't this a beautiful picture? Walking with God in the cool of the evening, just the two of you. Just simple, just walking with God. I mean, in spite of everything, in spite of the past, in spite of all the mistakes of the past, Jesus came to pay for that. Jesus came to erase all that. Now, if we've put our trust in Jesus, all that is behind us. God remembers that no more. That's no longer a factor now because that's under the blood. God remembers it no more. Now it's just a time of the two of you walking together in the cool of the evening. Sometimes the conversation is serious as you talk about the things that concern you in life. Sometimes it's lighthearted and the two of you are laughing as you talk about the things, the silly things going on in your world. I was out working in my yard, and the hike and bike trail is right behind our house, so the people come up out of the park on the hike and bike trail, and I heard voices, so I looked up, and here's this mother and daughter. The daughter's about 12, and they're walking. They've just come from the park, and I hear the voices, and they're walking along talking. Mom and girl talk, and then something was said, and they giggled and they laughed, and the girl put her arm around her mom, and they laughed and kept going, and they turned the corner and headed back up toward town. I thought, oh my, what a great walk that must be. That's what God wants. That's what God desires. God desires to have that kind of a walk with you. In spite of all that's going on, in spite of all the mistakes, get that behind you, get that confessed, get that behind you. Prayer is all that. It's talking with God, it's pleasing God, it's walking with God. And you need to know that is time, that is a treasure to God. You adoring Him, Him adoring you. Somebody asks, prayer, what is that? Well, friend, listen. It's talking with God. It's doing what you need to do to please God. And then it's just walking with God. It's as simple as that.